What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I plead. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Sing this out.
Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth.
This morning,
great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
He's been faithful. Would you give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. And if we believe that only through his blood can we be saved, and that he is always faithful to us, every moment of our lives is the time to worship. Amen. Let's sing this together.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
Sing one day.
One day. Every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Sing that again. One day. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. The time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before. Just as you are, come. Just as you are, come. Just as you are, come.
Amen. You can be seated as we continue this morning and to sing about His amazing grace from a God who knows us and who loves us. Let's sing this together this morning.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
Together. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are a great and mighty God. That you give us grace that we don't deserve, mercy that is new every single morning, Lord. We just pray that together as the body of Christ, the church, that we would know that you are our King and that you will reign forever, Lord. We pray that we would be on mission exactly where we're at. And if you call us somewhere different, we pray that we would follow you and do those good works that you've prepared for us before time, Lord. We pray that everyone on this earth has the opportunity to be saved, Lord. We know that if they call to you, that they will. We praise you that we've had the opportunity to do that. We thank you that that's our testimony. We pray that we would proclaim that each and every day, wherever we go, that we serve a King that is forever. In Jesus' name.
Stepped into time to dwell among us, to wear a robe of flesh, living just to die and bear the world's unrighteousness. But death couldn't conquer the Lamb, and now He is seated at the Father's right hand. Not be moved, and at His returning, the world at last will see that child of the manger is sovereign and supreme, worshipped and magnified. Jesus, our Savior, exalted on high.
Oh,
Amen, amen. What a song. He shall reign forevermore. William, are you able to come down for just a moment? We're going to take just a moment, and William is going to also pray for Brother Fred and Brother Ed during this time. I have a mic. William is also running all the sound in the back for us, and so we are so thankful for William and all that he does. So, amen. Amen. Let me take just a moment and pray.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit and for Jesus. Father, we thank you for Brother Fred. Father, I pray that you'd minister to him. Father, that you'd breathe life into him. Father, that you would just shower his family in peace. That you would touch his doctors and give them wisdom. And Father, that you would take control of the entire situation.
Yes, Father.
Father, we know that your will is best. We pray that your will would be done. Father, that you would be honored and glorified. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, today, as we continue on, it's been a unique year, 2020. You know, this time last year, I was in Israel. October of 19, Brother Fred and I sat down and shared with each of you, Brother Fred, myself, and Brother Ed, and shared about the transition that would take place on January 1st. Little did I know that I would be in Israel during that time. And I remember waking up on January 1st thinking, okay, we're having this transition and, you know, I'm in Israel. Like, is it going to be like this? Am I going to be at like the Mount of Olives? Am I going to be at the Garden Tomb? Where am I going to be? In Jerusalem? And I woke up and we were in Jericho. And I said, Lord, like, why am I in Jericho on January 1st? Like, what are you showing? What are you teaching me? And I was looking one direction at the ruins of Jericho, and I was looking out and I saw the mountain. And then I turned around and I saw the Jordan River right there. And the Lord reminded me of what was spoken back in October. And I shared this with many of you, and that was Joshua chapter 1, 7 through 9. It says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I came back from Israel and 2020 happened. We went from a pandemic to multiple hurricanes and tropical storms to a political climate like we've never seen before, an economical downturn. And in the midst of all of that, God reminded me of looking back across the Jordan River. That in that moment, Joshua taking that lead and shepherding the people, God said, I will be with you. Now, as I think back on 2020, you know, the first thing that I'm reminded of is that God was with us through it all. The whole time that we have walked through all the different circumstances and situations, we have seen God's hand in the midst of it. He knew before what we would face. God never promised that the circumstances would be easy or even favorable, but he promised that he would be with us and that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so though many people said 2020 was a terrible year, I see 2020 as an incredible year of amazing spiritual growth. Over that past year, we grew as a body of Christ in our understanding of complete dependency on Christ. As a body of Christ, we grew in our understanding that life is but a vapor and that we must make the most of every moment and be intentional. In 2020, we all grew that in our understanding that God created us for community. We all grew in our understanding of God's sovereignty. We all grew in God's in view and understanding of God's provision. We all grew in understanding that our Father is limitless. And we all grew in our understanding and of our need and the privilege of prayer. So when I look back on 2020, I praise God for what He has done in our lives as we have grown daily. But as I begin this year, 2021, I've asked the Lord, I just cried out to God for vision, direction, and guidance. And the Lord continued to press on my heart to call the body of Christ to prayer. And this doesn't mean that we have not been praying. Many brothers and sisters have shared with me prayer requests that I have been praying with you together corporately. It's just that we need to allow ourselves to make sure that we are aligned according to God's word and make it a priority in our lives. The word of God calls us to prayer without ceasing. Access to the Father that has been given to us has been given to us through His Son. And so we have the ability to pray and to seek the Lord. You know, for Christmas, my son got a little drone that basically was childproof. It can run into anything, but there was no remote control. And there was two little sensors on both sides. And whenever it was about to hit something, it would go to the other side. And if it was about to hit something over here, it'd just go to the other side. So it just kind of floated around. But every now and then it would start going just out of control. And you had to recalibrate it. You had to shake the drone until it became recalibrated so that it would be focused back on what it was supposed to do. And if we're very transparent, I think that all of us as believers often need to be recalibrated to make sure that our focus is on what God is putting in our calling us to do. Now, we must understand that prayer is not just asking God for things. If we called a friend and all we did was ask, every day I called you and I asked 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 over and over and over, what would you do? Eventually, you wouldn't want to pick up my phone call. Now, praise God, His love is unconditional for us. It's an agape, unconditional love. But prayer cannot just be asking just for things. See, prayer must also be listening or dwelling on who our Father is. Oftentimes we miss that. Oftentimes in desperation we begin to cry out to God and we forget to stop and dwell and think on who our Father is. So in 2021, I am calling Luke 4:18 to prayer and fasting. The first 28 days in the month of January, well, not the first 28 days, but starting tomorrow for 28 days, I am calling the church to a time of prayer and fasting before our Lord. And in doing so, I want us not just to ask, but to also dwell. To dwell on who our Father is. Psalm 37 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." You know, we know that passage, and most of the times we'll quote the second half. He'll give us the desires of our heart. But do we focus on the first part, delight yourself in the Lord? Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Psalm chapter 1, one of my favorite passages, but I'll just read 2 and 3. It says, But who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. The person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So as I call Luke 4:18 to a time of prayer and fasting, we must recognize that we have to be on our face before God, dwelling on who our Father is. We've got to dwell on the fact that our Father is love, that our Father is grace, that our Father is mercy, that our Father is just, that our Father is provider, that our Father is protector, that our Father is goodness. That's who He is. And so one of the ways that I have to help us in this process, we have printed out these. Y'all got this when you came in. This is a card that gives you just a scripture reading each day to help you start by dwelling on who God is. This week, the two attributes is God is love and God is goodness, or loving kindness. And so when you read these, stop and meditate on it. Think on who our God is and who our Father is as we, in some sense, recalibrate our prayer life to start by dwelling on our Father. Even Jesus had prayed this way. And he began by praising the Father, right? And so what are we going to do? We're going to dwell first and foremost. Now, over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be walking through the prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 is the prayer of Paul right before he makes this break with that big word, therefore. Remember, chapters 1, 2, and 3 is all about who we are in Christ. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 is what we do. It's the continual doing because of who we are. Now, the being must come before the what? The doing. The being in Christ, must come before the doing. If you go out and try to do verses, chapters 4, 5, and 6 without being in Christ, you will be in legalism and religion, and it will always fail you. You cannot, in your own power and in your own strength, live out chapters 4, 5, and 6. You can only live that out by abiding in Christ and Christ in you. So let's look at chapter 3, verses 14. I'm going to read the whole prayer to verse 21, and then I will go back because we're going to focus in on verse 14 today. It says this: "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Father, we ask that as we look at your word today, Holy Spirit, give us understanding and guidance. Holy Spirit, reveal to us and place it in our hearts that we may live accordingly. Now, Father, we love you and praise you, for it's in your name. Amen. Now, as we continue in Ephesians 3 and we look at this prayer, this prayer is incredible. Like, as I was studying it and spending a lot of time over this prayer, I many times wanted to shout for joy. Y'all may have heard me all the way up in Indiana shouting for joy as I was studying these passages. But today we're going to focus simply on verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." Now, this prayer is being prayed by Paul right after he has spoken the doctrinal statements in chapters 1, 2, and 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's caused us, that has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then he begins to talk about the love of the Father, the grace of the Father, the mercy of the Father, the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, that we have been in chapter 2, been made alive and raised and seated with Christ
Christ in the heavenly places. All of these doctrinal statements of who we are in Christ. I pray over the last 6 months that you have been able to just comprehend the exciting news, that it just keeps on going, all that God has bestowed upon you and I as believers in Christ Jesus. And now he ends this doctrinal portion of the letter with a prayer. And he understands that it required God's grace for him to pen this letter. And it requires God's grace for you to receive this letter. And so here he is with this prayer right before he goes into chapter 4. The first thing I want you to see in verse 14 is, "For this reason I bow my knees." Humility, a position of humility. Now, let me be very clear. There are many positions that you can be in for prayer. You can be standing. You can kneel. You can sit. My favorite position for prayer is walking. And the reason is because I don't want to fall asleep. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just know that if I am seated and there's times that I can start praying, and next thing I know, it's been an hour and I only prayed for 5 minutes. If anybody's ever been there, I understand your struggle there. So I walk. If you see me in my neighborhood walking around with my eyes closed, know I'm praying for you. But you can pray that I don't walk into something. But in this moment, Paul is specific about his position of prayer. Now, the reason is because this is not common for a Jewish man. Those who have gone to Israel with me and we go to the Wailing Wall, when you go to the Wailing Wall, how many people did you see kneeling on their knees? I've never seen somebody kneel at the Wailing Wall. I've seen people stand. I've seen people seated. But I've never seen somebody kneel. So Paul is being very specific here about his position. And the reason is because he is telling the readers, the Ephesian saints, that he is speaking about the position of his heart, of humility. That he's coming before God with humility. Now, humility is understanding who God is and who we're not. Let me just say that again. Humility in prayer is recognizing who God is and who we are not. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. Our righteousness is but filthy rags. Now, what we recognize is in that humility, we receive boldness and confidence. But that boldness and confidence comes because of who we are in Christ, not because of who we are in our own strength or our own power. So that humility is recognizing that he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the sovereign creator of all, the Great I Am. And you and I, we're not. We're not the sovereign King of Kings and the Great I Am. Paul recognize that, and he speaks this specifically. How do we come before God? When you kneel or when you pray to God, is it just flippantly real quick, or is it from a heart of humility? Do we come before God in recognition of who he is? Which is why I just shared with you the importance of starting with dwelling on who our Father is. Psalm 10 verse 17 says, "O Lord, you have heard the desires of the humble. You will strengthen here you will incline your ear." In 2 Chronicles 7:14, one of the famous verses about praying for the land to be healed. What did they say at the very beginning? "My people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves." But the greatest example is Luke 18 and the parable that Jesus speaks. He says this in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. He said, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves and they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself, which is very interesting. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Brothers and sisters, the first thing we must see as we have a call to prayer is that we must come with a heart of humility. We must recognize who our God is. The second thing that we see here is that Paul is dependent on the Father. Dependency. It says this in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before who? The Father. Paul is dependent on the Father. This prayer by Paul comes at a pivotal moment. He is stating that it's only by God's grace that I was able to pen this letter, and it's only by God's grace that you'll be able to receive it. He understands that the doctrinal statements that have been proclaimed can only be received by God's grace and by his mercy. And so therefore he's praying for the Ephesian saints and saying, I am dependent on God to be able to speak his words, and you and myself are dependent on God to be able to receive those words. Which is interesting. Oftentimes we pray when? Before a message, and very seldom after a message. Maybe we need to begin to pray at the beginning, Father, that you would speak and clearly, and that my mind would be focused on you, Father. But also afterwards, Father, we pray that the body of Christ would receive, be able to receive the message that is being spoken today. But you know, oftentimes we try in our own ability to show our independence. I have a 6-year-old son at home, which means that I have a young son who wants to show that he is independent. Now, when he was 2.5, 3 years old, he began to want to show me that he was independent. I truly thought that his first words were, Daddy, I got this. Daddy, I got this. Daddy, I got this. And what he was telling me is, I want to show you, Dad, that I can do this. I want you to be amazed. I want you to be wowed. Which is why, taking a little bit of a rabbit trail, but this is why I tell my kids all the time, nothing that you can do can change Dad's love for you. Nothing. Because I want them to recognize that, because in their little minds, they're thinking, like, if I can show my independence, Mom and Dad are going to be wowed. Everybody's going to be wowed. Everybody's going to be excited, right? And we see that. Everybody who's had kids has seen that. Now, here's the interesting thing. As his father, what do I want to do? I want to help. I want to help him. All he has to do is ask, and I'd be right there. As he grows older, all he has to do is ask, and Dad would be right there. Now, there are some times that I step in because he's about to hurt himself and we're going to have a broken arm, and we don't want that, right? But what happens is that we don't ask often because we want to show our independence. And how often do we do that to our Heavenly Father? How often do we want to show how strong we are? How much we've studied? How much we've done this and this and that? And we want to show that we're able to do all these things. And God's saying, just ask. I'm right here. I love you. I care for you. I love you so much. I sent my son to die for you. You're not to carry that burden. And how often do we, just like children, try to show our independence when God's saying, just ask? You know, I love the passage that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Lean not on your own understanding. We are fully dependent on our Father. Now you may think that you're not fully dependent, but we are fully dependent on our Father. So we see a place of humility. We see dependency on Christ. But then looking at the whole prayer, we see that this is a selfless prayer. A selfless prayer. Now, who is Paul praying for? Who's the letter written to? The Ephesian saints, right? Those who have believed, trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, he even says that in chapter 1. Those who heard and believed, right? We've talked about that a couple months back. You can get the CD if you miss it, or you can go online and find that message. But we have to recognize that Paul is praying for the saints in Ephesus, but where is Paul? Paul's in prison. Paul's in prison, and he's penning letters to the churches, and he's praying for the saints. What Paul doesn't say in this prayer is, hey, saints in Ephesus, pray that I'll be released. What he doesn't say in this prayer is, hey, saints in Ephesus, it's really bad in here. I'm going to need some y'all got to pray for me. It's so interesting at what Paul has not prayed for in this prayer. But instead, he's praying for the men and women believers in Ephesus. See, Paul recognizes that it's not about the temporal things in life, it's about the eternal. Paul recognizes that God is sovereign and that God could easily get him out of this jail. Have we not seen it in the book of Acts? Peter's sleeping the night before he's going to come before Herod. He's sleeping, and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord shows up. Hey, Peter, come on. It's time to get out of jail. Come on. And Peter not even really understanding what's happening until he's out of prison, right? And just to give a disclaimer here, or not a disclaimer, just to give you a insight, on Wednesday nights while we're walking through prayer, Wednesday nights I'm going to be preaching on the prayers of the church of the first church. So we're going to be walking through the first church and that they were a praying church. But Paul, because he recognized God's sovereignty, because he recognized that God was with him and never leave him nor forsake him, he made the most of every moment. Instead of whining and complaining about being in prison in Rome, he's writing letters under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church, multiple churches, and he's praying for them. And just so you will see his heart, go back to verse 13. He says, therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are for your, what? Glory. Wow. Let me ask you today, if God answered every one of your prayers, how many people would be blessed other than yourself? As we call the church to 28 days of prayer and fasting, but really focus on prayer throughout the whole year, we must recognize that we've got to come with a heart of humility, that we're dependent on the Father, and we have to be selfless in our prayers. Not only focused on what we're walking through. You know, I heard it said, and I think this is very true, that one of the most intimate things is to pray and to pray out loud. Like even for pastors, when it seems so like, because we pray every week out loud, but it's actually one of the most intimate things because you see the heart of the person when they pray. It's been said that you know where somebody's heart is by where they write their checks to. If you look in their checkbook, you can see where their heart is. Y'all have heard that before when people are talking about finances, right? But it's also with prayer. You want to know where somebody's heart is? Go listen to somebody pray. Go look at your own prayers. And you'll find out real quickly where your heart is. So we see that it's a place of humility. We see that it is dependent upon the Lord. We see, or on the Father, same thing. And then we see that Paul's prayer is selfless. And one more thing on that I forgot to mention, and that is this. How was he able to focus on the Ephesian saints and not on all of his circumstances. It's because he kept his eyes on the King. It's because he kept his trust in the Lord. Because his focus, as I just mentioned, was on the eternal, not the temporal. It's not about my circumstances. It's about sharing the truth of God's word so that men and women will grow in their walk in Christ and that men and women will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But then the last thing that we see in just an overview of this prayer is that Paul's prayer is spiritual. Paul's prayer has two very specific prayers. And we'll look at those the next 2 weeks. But when you look at verses 14 through 21, what you will notice is really nothing about their circumstances or even about healing. Now, let me just say this. That does not mean that we don't pray for people to be healed. We just prayed for Brother Fred, and I pray that we continue to pray for Brother Fred and Brother Ed. The book of James even tells us to call upon the elders to cry out in prayer that the prayers of a righteous man, right? Like, we must continue to pray. We must anoint with oil. We must cry out to God for healing. But what I want you to hear today is that that can't be our only prayers. Our only prayers cannot be focused on simply outward healing. Our prayers must also be focused on the spiritual or the inward healing. Look at what he says. And we'll get into this later next week. But he says in verse 16, and that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in what? The inner man. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18 says. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now think about that for a moment. The older that we get, we recognize what this verse is saying. Listen, our outer man is decaying. Why? Because of the fall of man. Because we cannot eat right now of the tree of life. The next time we see that is in heaven. And because we don't eat of the tree of life, we've been removed from the garden, or outward body is decaying. But it doesn't matter how old you are, your inward man can be renewed every single day. So what do we pray for? Is it always about healing? Or do we also pray for spiritual growth? Do we pray for boldness and confidence to speak God's word? Do we pray for brothers and sisters that they would know Christ even more intimately than they ever have before? What is our focus? What I want to challenge us at Luke 4:18 is not to stop praying for healing, but to prioritize and also pray for spiritual growth. As we go into 2021, I am calling the church to 28 days of prayer and fasting. Samuel Chadwick said this, Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies. He fears nothing from prayerless works. He fears nothing from prayerless religion. He laughs at their toil, he mocks at their wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Let me just say that again. He laughs at their toil, he mocks at their wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. The devil understands that when we go to God for prayer, our Father, we have supernatural power in Christ. The only thing that gets him afraid is us getting serious about being in prayer. He's not concerned, the enemy's not concerned about my preaching if it's without prayer. He's not concerned about our witnessing if it's not bathed in prayer. He's not concerned about a body of Christ if they're not on their face in prayer. But when we fall on our face in prayer, mighty things will happen. If you don't believe me, just go read the book of Acts when you get home today. What did they devote themselves to? The word of God, the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread, and what did they, and fellowship and what? Prayer. Prayer. In Ephesians 6, when we get there, what does it talk about? We have two offensive weapons, the word of God and what? Prayer. See, prayer is kind of like this cord, this charging cord. Now, for some of us, we got electronics for Christmas. I didn't get this for Christmas, but some of us got electronics for Christmas. And you know what is required with electronics? A charging cord. If you didn't get a charging cord with your electronic, you're probably in trouble. All right, you're probably going to have to go buy one, or else you're only going to get one battery's use out of it, right? But if I plug this in right now to this iPad, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Nothing. Why? Because it's not plugged in, right? Brothers and sisters, many of us have access to prayer, but never access it the way that God has called us to. We walk around with a charging cord that is access to the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we never plug it in. We never cry out to God. This year, or the next 28 days, as we seek the Lord in prayer and fasting, this is what the Lord has put on my heart. That we would meet up here from 12 to 1 o'clock, Mondays through Fridays. You say, David, I can't be here. I work. I understand you can pray right where you're at. But Mondays through Fridays, we're going to be right here from 12 to 1 o'clock. Different pastoral team will be here. And I'm going to be here as many times as possible, every day, Monday through Friday, for the next 28 days. But we're going to be very specific in how we pray. We're going to start the first 10 to 15 minutes in dwelling on who our Father is. We're going to start by reading passages of just who our Father is and just dwelling in His presence, delighting ourselves in our Father. Then we're going to take 15 to 20 minutes and we're going to pray spiritual prayers over the body of Christ. That we would grow in Christ, that we would know Christ, that we would grow in Christ, and that we would go in Christ. Then we're going to take about 10 to 15 minutes to pray for healing and protection as we walk through this pandemic. For those who are dealing with a situation or a circumstance that are seeking healing. And then we're going to end our time with praising the Father. Now the reason we're going to end our time that way is because the last two verses of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 is a doxology of praise. Y'all remember doxology from Ephesians 1? Here we see Paul ending that prayer with praise to the Father. We're going to start with dwelling on who He is. We're going to pray for spiritual growth. We're going to pray for healing. And we're going to praise the Father as we close every day. I'm asking that you would join in with us. Either here, or whether you're at home, or whether you're at your workplace. Here's the specific prayer when it comes to spiritual prayer. That we would know Christ intimately. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is his prayer, and we're going to pray this prayer over each of us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. Do you realize there's no circumstance bigger than that prayer right there? When we recognize and our hearts are opened and enlightened to see how big our God is, all the circumstances get really, 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 really small. We're going to pray specifically that we would grow in Christ. And that is the prayer that we're studying right now. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And here it is. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Man, don't you want that prayed over you? That you would be filled up to the fullness of God? And then we're going to pray specifically that we would go in Christ. That we would go in Christ. In Acts chapter 4, many of y'all know the story where Peter and them, they had threats against them. They came back to the body of Christ and they prayed. And this is what they prayed. I want you to hear this. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. It says, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Would you join me in prayer? Would you join me in dwelling on who our Father is? Humbling our hearts in dependency upon Him? Would you join me in praying for one another as the body of Christ? That they would know Christ. That they would grow in Christ. And that they would go in Christ. Would you join me in praying for those who have ailments and sicknesses, that they would be healed? Would you join me in praising our Father for who He is? To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.